on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome to the Friends.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show.
What you quit? James, what you upset for? It's gonna be a healthy baby.
So, see ya? She said I'm baby again.
James, but that's what it is.
All right, but what is it? It's a girl or a boy, Mama.
James. It's a healthy little child. It's a child.
Oh, it's a child. It's a child. Oh, it's a child.
Wow.
That's right.
His face.
Though. This week we brought it back to something that came where? Out of the mouths of babes. What you just heard was none other than internet sensation Lil James, who has won our hearts over with his passionate takes on different circumstances as a child. And speaking of a child, let me just give you the hashtag early this week. Hashtag, it's a child.
It's a child.
Let me tell you why we've chosen that. Never have we ever learned a more clear lesson in communication than we have from this child who is a child talking about a child, okay? What he said was a response to his mother giving him a vague, generic response to a very specific question. Is it a boy or is it a girl? And what does she say? It's a healthy child. What did little James say? Oh, it's a child. It's a child. It's a child. Repetitively, guiding his mother, kindly, but still assuredly, back to the point. I'm aware it's a child. What kind of child is it? Sometimes we have to offer a helping hand to our loved ones, even in communication. Let Lil James be a shining example and a beacon of hope for you in connecting with your loved ones. Remind them, oh, it's a child. It's a child. It's a child. Remind your boss when they say something smart and redundant. Oh, it's a child. It's a child. It's a child. Remind your wife when she get on your goddamn nerves. Oh, it's a child. It's a child. It's a child. The hashtag this week and every damn week, far as I'm concerned, is it's a child. Shout out to you, Lil James. With that being known and understood, let's get to the QT goddamn NAs. Here we go.
Every time you say it's a child,
it's a child.
You making me think of when they say it's a child. It's a child.
It's a child. It's a child. It's a child. It's a child. It's a child. It's a child. Oh, he's going here. We out the gate.
Never mind.
No.
See? You smart. You always smart.
Yes, please. Thank you.
QTNA number one. We're going to get this lookalike shit out the way real quick. It's only one this week. Is it true that last Tuesday afternoon at Shake Shack in Los Angeles, California, Power co-creator Courtney Kemp. Y'all know who she is? The lady that did Power, right?
Yeah.
She acted like she couldn't believe it when she and the toddler next to her in line both said, I want the damn chicken sandwich at the same time. And she looked down and none other than our intro clip of the week song, sensation, Lil James stared up at her and said, well, you had it yet? Yeah, so Lil James and Courtney A. Kemp look alike. Now, I don't know if you've seen the lady who created Power.
Yes,
but if
you've seen I don't know how we got here.
You've seen her.
Why?
Now, let's get the lookalikes out there. Let's get back to the QTNAs. Number two, is it true? Now, this one I'm most fond of because it really tells a story behind a phenomenon, right? Mm. Is it true that the real story behind the hook in Hot Girl Summer is that Rashida's mama, Charlene, had just closed the press store in Houston and was at an after-hours club lighting a cigarette when Megan Thee Stallion was outside riding the hook on the patio, and she looked up and said, I got it. So you know she goes, you know she got it lit. Is it true that Charlene is the one who came up with that with a cigarette hanging out her mouth?
Why are you looking at
I can't even like get it out. Rashida Mama. Rashida Mama got writing credits on Hot Girl Summer. She had a cigarette hanging out her mouth. So you know she got it lit. And she knew it was perfect for the chorus. Is it true? Question three. It's the last one. We need to get to the bottom of it.
Oh, it's a child. It's a child.
And what a more appropriate segue into question three.
Okay,
is it true that Dreezy broke up with Jacquees because he had used her car? And then when she asked how much gas was in it, he looked down at his feet and socks and house shoes and said, so she left that nigga because he left her car, her gas tank on E. Is it true? With that being said and understood, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? I don't. Jacquees apparently does. Welcome, Francesca. How you doing?
I'm amazing. How are you doing?
I feel good. I feel good about myself.
I see. Yeah.
Get me out of here, please.
You do your facial expressions for the economy. So I have a black business.
Get all right. Right.
Black business. So our homie, Santana Caress Benitez.
All right.
Oh, I love that y'all cheered before we even said anything.
Let's go, Santana.
So Santana just launched a cooking show on YouTube.
Shout out to Santana.
And it's called I'll Cook Like Your Mother. Where she just posted the first video today. Well, by the time you guys listen to this, it'll be yesterday. But it's up. It's a 12-minute video showing you how to make honey fried chicken.
Man.
And I love it because it's super chill. It's, you know, her personality.
Santana,
like, she's just so New York and her energy. And I love that it just feels like you're chilling with her in her house cooking.
Yeah.
You know, it's like not posturing, like nothing.
She gives good teacher vibes anywhere.
Yeah,
something
like she
like
had
like
her bouncy towels on the table. Like, she's just so dope.
Real ass Santana.
Just real ass
her.
New York house cooking.
And so her food be good.
And her
right.
food is amazing.
What a time to teach people how to fry chicken, too,
okay.
right? This is when they need to know. Popeye's running out of shit.
Okay.
Nigga shooting and fighting and stabbing over fried chicken.
And here she is telling you how to make it in
perfect.
Your house.
Over a sandwich.
Now, Santana is also popularly known from playing Lulu in Spike Lee's She's Gotta Have It, in
how
case you
want
to put a face to the name. And she's also Jade's business partner and For the Culture Catering, where they've been touring all around the country, sold out, might I
so
ask.
So you know she can cook.
touring all around the country with their dopest dinner party. So, which, by the way, the next stop is Philly. On September 7th, which I believe is a Saturday
weekend.
Coming up. So definitely stop through if you are around Philly, in Philly, gonna be there for the food. It's good enough.
I think I might go out there.
You should. I know XD's pulling up.
Oh, well, then if he's going, I'm going.
There you go. They're neighbors.
Yep, I'm gonna be out there.
So definitely support Asante and XD.
Oh my God. Sorry, I just had really fat thoughts. Cause you know, whenever Jade and them cook, they be throwing down.
Like
and
down,
so
down.
I guess because I'm like, I guess because I'm like, if I go early, that means I can help. I get first pickings and things. That's why I
leave some food. So definitely check out the Philly stop of the dopest dinner party by For the Culture Catering. Definitely check out Santana's YouTube channel. Like I said, it's titled "I'll Cook Like Your Mother." That's all you have to type into YouTube, and the first video and channel will pop right up. And that's the Black Business of the Week. It's so good, too.
Yes.
I just loved watching her. I was like, this is a good video.
Yeah.
I'm so excited that it's going to be like a weekly show.
Yeah.
I love listening to Santana talk anyway. She's got a great voice.
That rasp.
Yeah.
That New York rasp.
Yeah. And she gives like great presenter vibes. That's why I was like, she would be a great like TV host, like
totally.
Someone to teach you how to cook. Because like,
and
imagine
her face, her freckles, her hair. She's just the vibe.
Imagine her on Wendy Williams. Like, so say Santana's going to teach me how to cook. Oh, well, you know, Wendy, I got you, girl. I got you. We're just going to take this chicken here. Now wash your hands, Wendy.
Oh,
like,
God,
I see
I
Santana
totally
doing
it.
Right?
I don't know. I wonder if she would do that, but.
Right.
She's got the pipes.
So that's it for this week's Black Business. You ready for the recap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So last week's episode, titled "The Thrill Is Gone Because of Dustin."
And it ain't never.
We discussed second chances. If someone messed up badly, how open are you to letting them back in? And do you find yourself being more or less lenient when it comes to romantic situations or your friendships? So we shared stories on times we've given and needed grace from those that we love. And as always, you guys listening had a lot to say. So who stood out to you, Asante?
I want to give a shout out to this person. Their subject says, am I into second chances or am I still being manipulated?
Ooh. good one.
Hey, y'all. I think I'm a forgiving person to a fault, and everyone gets unlimited chances. My chart is just water and earth. Help. Example.
Wow, that's literally my chart.
I met this man some years ago, and we had a fling. Our relationship got to a point where I found it so emotionally draining, despite the bomb dick and missing vertebrates in my back.
Wow.
Over an 8-month period, he reached out to me via text, WhatsApp, Twitter DMs, Instagram DMs, Snapchat, LinkedIn, no joke. Carrying pigeon joke. Even revived my space to reach out. Okay, big joke. I don't know why, but I responded. We rekindled our relationship. We're talking more, spending more time together. But alas, still ain't shit. Mm. I found myself emotionally drained, waiting on him, constantly forgiving canceled plans and apologizing for my feelings. So again, I cut him off, but considering hitting him up again. This episode made me wonder if I waited long to give him a second chance or a reminder from the universe that not everyone is worth it. Thanks again for all you do. It's an amazing show. Love, creative name of your choice. I will call you Bonnie.
So, Bonnie. Yeah.
Yep.
So like Bella.
Yep. Okay. The grandmama's the baby. So yeah, Bonnie, that was, I loved reading that because you have to sometimes wonder like, am I like really that forgiving or do I just like torture myself? Which right. isn't exactly what you said, but sometimes that's more how it seems than what it actually is.
No, for sure. And we got a lot.
Torture myself.
Right. Shit.
Why do you say it like that? And then people were asking, how do you know between changed behavior and trauma bonding, which I thought was a really good way to describe it. In my experience, if you find yourself repeating the same patterns that made you break up in the first place, number one, or number two, if you just find that you don't feel good. It's really that simple.
It like, feels just like old times.
Right. Like if she, like the letter said, she found herself waiting on calls. Things were canceled. Yep. That kind of behavior, then that means like you're wasting your time. In my opinion, the changed behavior is where it actually feels different. You're right. Like, oh,
you
wow.
You see it.
You see it. You feel it. You're not creating that same dynamic and recreating the same trauma again. It's literally like, oh, wow, this feels good. We're communicating. When we're going to hang, we hang and it feels good. And there's no like push and pull dynamic, which in trauma bonding is usually like the foundation of it where there's like a chase. And then they give you a dopamine hit because they pay you a little bit of attention and you get hyped and then they pull it away from you again. And you find yourself waiting for that little hit like an addict.
I love doing that to people.
Oh my God. Oh, I hate you because that's so real. And I hate that. That's terrible.
Ooh, it just feels terrible. So much better than being on the other side.
Could you get to shrug everything off?
What a relief. Like, oh, maybe. When I want to, type shit. You know what I'm saying?
But if you don't want to be on the other comedy. Side No, but it's true though. If you don't want to be on the other side of that, you know how that feels. You know what I mean? So,
oh yeah.
So on SoundCloud, Strong Friend Check-In, which I'm assuming is a podcast.
Okay.
Said, okay,
or
so
somebody barefoot all the time. Oh my God. I check in on my strong friends. I'm the one I check in. Big old barefoot motherfucker. I'm Strong Friend Check-In. Now what's going on?
No. Why are you like this?
What?
So Strong Friend Check. I hate when I have to like repeat it.
And then, all
and then
you
it
hear
starts
is
with, okay,
it sound
so
like
boom.
Somebody barefoot. See what I mean? Okay, so boom. The stomp.
Jesus.
Strong Friend Check In.
Okay, so boom. This one time, I did give a nightmarish person a second chance after they messed up really bad. The thing is, I thought they would have changed because I gave them a second chance 3 years after we broke up. But that person didn't change. But it doesn't make me think people in general are incapable of change. You just have to be discerning with who gets a chance and who doesn't. And I thought that was great.
It's a great way to make yourself feel better about doing something dumb. No, I'm just playing, I'm just playing Strong Friend Check-In. I'm just playing. It's jokes because I knew you can handle it. You'd be barefoot all the time.
Somebody has to check in on Strong Friend Check-In.
I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
Not Strong Friend Check-In gonna need to be checked on. Damn.
Wait, I have one more.
Okay. Come on, friend. Give
so,
it to us.
Dumela says, I do believe in chances, judging from my own experiences and also because I believe in God, who has shown me grace and mercy.
Hey, shut up.
So I would find it.
Igbo ball. You okay?
Oh, but God.
Hey, Shandala Kandala.
I would find it highly hypocritical to not believe in second chances. Come on. Mm.
Come on, God.
Hello. So I had to read that.
You want me to give a testimony about my life?
Yeah.
Y'all are hard ones today.
Oh, Justin. I'm crying now.
Yes.
Yo, where's that from?
The last acceptable Kanye West project. Right. Before, the Life of Pablo.
Before he moved on.
He said, oh, I'm crying now. That's in the song?
The woman, yeah.
Dream Kardashian. I've always said that was her offering up that piece on Kanye's album. Oh, I'm crying now. He's been so good. That was Dream Kardashian.
Right. So good.
Oh,
okay.
Justin Ross, what you find on the Twitter street?
Believe it or not, I'm in Instagram this
week. Oh, wow.
Hey, baby, I didn't uncover the whole jewel.
Because we're not even
throwing your message request. You see, like, I get back to you later. Like, it's a whole different world.
Don't go into the message request.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm seeing it.
Shout out to this young lady. I'm not going to tell everybody on Instagram, but shout out to you for sending this to us. She responded to me offering the Spotify link to the Thrill Is Gone episode.
Oh.
She said, I love this episode, especially the name of it. My great grandfather actually wrote that song.
What?
Wow.
It gets better, y'all. Catch these twists and turns. It was stolen from him, but we get the check now, so we straight. LOL. Love y'all.
That's what she said. And they ended that perfectly.
Wait, because
they
got shady, though.
Still, look.
She's like, but we get paid.
So we straight.
Listen,
okay, that's her words.
So look, the thrill ain't all the way gone then.
No, it good, came back.
Good.
Said, if you love it enough, let it leave it. Come back to you. Put it in the bank. So shout out to the family.
Low key, that's bugged out.
Yeah.
We have a listener that's related to the person who wrote it. Wow.
That's what she said.
And thank you for telling us that you ended up getting paid.
That's right.
Because you know we was gonna go on drag season right then.
Right. Saved our breath.
Okay.
Thank you. So that's it.
Okay.
I mean, where do you go from there?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
the thrill is gone. So you ready for this week's episode?
I know I'm
yes.
So I was, the funny thing is I had a completely different show planned, but then I saw this article pop up on my feed on Twitter from Vogue.com.
Come on.
Right? Come on. And the title, I'm trying to remember what the title was. Hold on, let me see if I can pull it up.
What did it say? What was the title from Vogue magazine? What did it say?
Well, what I saw was it said, when 25 is the new 18. And I was like, what the hell?
Inseams or what is this?
Look, black parents ain't going for that. What the hell that mean?
And I was like, what is that? So, of course, I had to click it. And it was talking about, when I clicked it, you know me, I read it. And because it's Vogue, no shade to Vogue, but it was kind of like a superficial breakdown of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me find out who the actual researchers I clicked on their sources to kind of get more idea from the actual like papers and journals and medical.
Basically straight from the motherfucking horse mouth.
There we go.
Yeah.
So
like that
to
granddaughter that wrote in. Go ahead.
Okay.
So according to medicalexpress.com.
Okay.
They said that a small group of researchers with the Royal Children's Hospital in Australia recently published a paper in the Lancet Child and Adolescent Health suggesting that it might be time to change the span of the years that define adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, as it is, it's from 10 to 19, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's usually the time frame. So they're proposing that they change the ages to 10 to 24 years of age.
Damn!
Which feels counterintuitive because when you say teen, 19, 18, it's easy to think that that's a teenager.
Mm.
But they're saying that it's time that society catches up with the cultural shifts that are happening because there are a lot of things that are making people not develop as quickly as we did.
Does that mean they're going to extend people being on the insurance longer now?
Well, 26. So it already fits the time frame.
Well, look, so if it already is in the time frame, does it
make
it another?
A little farther?
Yeah.
You want 5 more years.
Yeah, like,
I
want to see
if
I go into that window, like, are we pushing that to, like, 33, 35
or something
like that?
That was, like, the saddest day when my mom was like,
you on your own.
Insurance. I was like, fuck, that's terrible.
My teeth started hurting that morning.
Look, imagine being at the doctor's office and them being like, this 3 months old. But like, it's like a coupon, right?
Yo, that's the worst. But that's what they're saying, that, you know, considering the recession, the weak economy, there's so many factors that they were saying that should be considered in how we're viewed in your early 20s. So In other words, they believe 24 years old should qualify as a teenager, extending adolescence. And what Vogue's article said is that in September of last year, a review published in a scientific journal titled Child Development, they found that teenagers today were engaged in considerably less adult activities than teenagers in the 90s, which was is that us? Teenagers? Were we teenagers in the 90s?
I was not a teenager in the 90s. I wish I was. Justin's face.
Yes.
I was just thinking about all the foolish things happening at Freaknik, me wishing I
was. Can we just go on?
Go ahead, friend.
Oh. Damn!
Why'd he go? Yes. So this is what they did. Mm-hmm. They analyzed data collected from 8 million people, which is kind of insane to me. How do you even organize that? That's Facebook. What I want to know. But it's 13 to 19-year-olds from 1976 all the way to 2016. And they asked them questions like what they did in their leisure time, mm-hmm. just to kind of get an idea of what people were doing. Mm-hmm. So teens were hitting major independence milestones much later in life. That's what they realized with this newer group of kids that I guess would be called Gen Z, Generation mm-hmm. Z. Mm-hmm. So things like your driver's license, everyone's Ubering. There's no reason to really drive. After school jobs, kids are lazy. They're not interested. They just want to be home on their phones. Even active dating lives. They're saying, you know, why would you link up at the mall or whatever we did when you can text each other all night?
Yep.
So even things like that are just changing social interactions that were way more common at younger ages for us because we didn't have things like Uber to take us everywhere, smartphones to connect us, and social media networks, most importantly. So they're saying that 18 now is actually the new 13.
Ain't that crazy?
These kids gotta be dumb as a boxer out.
Right, that's what
for
like.
18 to be the new 13. God damn.
In comparison, you know, it's all relative, but in comparison to us in the 90s, that's what they're saying. Isn't that something? Do you agree with that?
I'm
Do you
conflicted.
Have like teens around you that you can kind of study?
No, but I always, I guess, just assumed from the way I was growing up that the younger kids were always going to be smarter, especially with technology advancing.
You would think, right?
So I'm like fucked up hearing that, like, damn, they like, we not doing that. Like, as opposed, you know, on MySpace, we had to learn how to code our pages.
Oh,
but
man,
when Instagram ain't letting you code shit and all you're doing is posting the pictures, you got to figure out the filter. I guess, you know, some of that makes sense depending on, you know, what aspect you're looking at it from.
And that's what they were saying, that one would think because kids now have access to so much information. They can, you know, access skill sets and just figure things out a lot faster than mm-hmm. we have. That's what we think. But these studies, through the data they've collected, are proving otherwise.
Girl, I mean,
they didn't want to say it, but they basically were like, these kids are lazy.
Well, I think it's a very lazy perspective to take as an adult who is intaking this information to then say, okay, these kids are lazy, so let's extend the time period that we expect them to be lazy.
You think
lazy.
It's like coddling them?
What kind of shit is that? Furthermore, I blame your parents for not introducing certain concepts to you and for confusing a lack of motivation or a lack of ambition and drive with the state of people who are that age. That's not that one doesn't equate to the other. Hmm. Just because your kid's lazy sitting around peeing in mason jars and, you know what I'm saying, not going to the bathroom type shit. You
Shout
know what
out
I'm
to
saying?
Euphoria.
Lazy okay. ass kids ain't doing nothing just because that's your lot. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean that that's how everybody is. In fact, I'm so glad you brought up Euphoria. Mm-hmm. I think even though that's clearly a fictional television series.
But based on true stories.
Yeah, and what a lens into just how fast young people are moving today. With the addition of the very same technology that these researchers are identifying as a cause for them to progress slower, mm-hmm. I think that's very contradictory with what I've seen. I know like my little cousins, you know what I'm saying? Are moving quickly along in their lives and
so much sharper, right?
Yeah, very much sharper. So I don't know if these motherfuckers was in, I don't know where they at, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, but in my hood, you know what I'm saying, people I know from Michigan, people I see here, you know, even working in schools, I worked with some middle schoolers who was faster than Flojo, you hear me? So I don't agree with this.
No, I love that you're saying that because we are definitely getting to that part too. Because it does matter who they're asking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Where these lazy son of a bitches from? These some lazy ass kids they found.
But this is what studies outside of that pinpointed, that a number of factors contributed to this, as they're calling failure to launch into adulthood.
Yes, please give me these, because that's what's going to make the difference.
So the first one that the study claimed, and actually let me say where this study comes from. It's from scientificamerican.com, mm-hmm. and it's researchers at San Diego State University and Bryn Mawr College. This is where these factors are coming from their study.
People in San Diego do be lazy. Go ahead.
The weather's
nice. I mean, it's so pretty. Like, so I just
recession,
want to take it in.
The recession.
Yeah.
That's the main one. Mm. And it says, with a struggling economy, it has led college graduates college graduates straddled with debt higher than ever. We all know mm-hmm. that. And it's making them defer major adult decisions such as moving out, buying a house, forcing a lot of kids to stay home because they simply cannot afford to not be home. Mm. The weak economy is another one, as I mentioned earlier. So we're not getting paid livable wages. It's just hard to move out, like this one said, with the mm-hmm. recession, if you don't have a job that will allow you to do so. Or if you're working so many jobs that you can't even think straight, you know what I right. mean? And you have to kill yourself to just even have an apartment with hella roommates, which
and
is what most people do.
If you end up killing yourself or burning out, that's another expense and bill.
And that's and how it affects
your
mental health.
Motherfucking ass. And friend, this don't even make sense, because that's different. Those are people who have done the work to have certain opportunities, and the opportunities don't exist. So now they have to adapt to a circumstance. To me, unless I'm misunderstanding this, that's a bit different than what the study initially described as their findings, right? Mm-hmm. Which is just lazy sack of shit kids who don't want to do nothing. These kids that you're speaking of are college graduates
right.
who are, you know, are succumbing to a system that just doesn't present opportunities for them to do the things that they are
right.
willing
it's
to do.
It's not created for them to thrive.
That's different than just someone with no drive, again, no motivation, which is what I assume that they was talking about. Now, when
this, right?
You know.
No, but they're saying that these are the factors that are leading the studies to suggest that adolescence mm-hmm. should be extended. Because of this, because of how the culture mm-hmm. has changed and it's changing society. The third thing they mentioned was smartphones. Mm-hmm. They're saying teens and preteens living out a huge portion of their lives online. It's a virtual reality world now. And so explaining that there's been a significant dip in social activities and in their lives in general in comparison to mm-hmm. ours in the 90s. So like I mentioned, things like, why would you meet up when you can text or right. be on Twitter? And low key, it's funny because I'm a lot older. I'm not in Gen Z. But I find myself doing that too sometimes, where I'm just like, I don't really want to be out as much.
You can't feel the text.
You sure
you
can.
You know why you meet up. Titties. That's why you meet up. Balls.
But they're feeling less motivated to do that. They literally just want to be home. They want to text. Think about it. I've been hanging out with my little cousins more lately, spending more time with them. And it has been interesting to see how they are buried into their phones. I mean, buried.
It's really
weird,
too.
To get them to like be present is not easy.
It's really weird, too, because how are people allowing things? And I was thinking about this on a super random side note. Like, my parents, they're older, and watching them drive and only listen to the GPS, when I hear damn Sesame Street in my head about see the signs, I was like, nobody looks at maps anymore or cares. Because we were missing turns, and they were like, oh, the lady didn't say that. And I'm sitting up here thinking, like, she shouldn't have to say it. You can see it. I can see it right there in the back seat. But that's how, like, Uber drivers, they just go with the GPS. And I'm right. like, we just getting lazy. Because sometimes the GPS gives us a route that makes sense. But when I was doing it for public transportation, sometimes if I decided to take a bus that it didn't suggest, that got me there 5 minutes quicker than it tell me to wait for the damn train that decided to have signal issues because of some other accident or something.
But remember when we didn't have GPS and you'd have to print out those directions?
Oh my God, I'm MapQuest.
MapQuest. And then obviously maps aren't updated mm-hmm. regularly. Mm-hmm. So there'd be parts where you're like looking for a building.
It's like, turn here and that shit is like under construction and has been for 3 years.
It's not even an avenue on the map. You're like, what the fuck?
You really want to take it back. Remember when you would go on a road trip as a child, and if your parents belonged to like an automobile club like AAA, you would go get a trip tick is what they called it. And they would like determine, predetermine the route that you would drive, like on the highways. It was like a custom map. Yeah, shout out to.
See, we didn't have a car, so I don't know nothing about that.
See, we like you. Your parents would go to AAA. Shout out to everybody that knows that what I'm talking about.
The membership.
Your parents would go to AAA and get a trip tick that would tell you, you know, how to get wherever you were going.
So it was like a printout.
Yeah, like a map that showed you the route, and it would be, you know, useful information along the way. Included. So like, you know, different restaurants, hotels, fun things. You
crazy
know.
How times have changed. But yeah. Like,
you don't need none of that shit now, do you?
None of it.
Thank God for the Google apps.
All you're doing is dropping
pins.
I
really don't know what I would do because I have such a terrible sense of direction.
Do you really?
No, like bad. Like to the point that my mom would be like, how have you lived here your whole life? And you don't know what train goes to this part in Queens. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have to Google it.
I have such a great sense of direction that it actually fucks me
jealous.
Up when I'm in the city sometimes. And I feel like, I can feel, even if I don't know where shit is, I don't know why.
Just
I
know
can feel myself
Western-y.
Going the wrong way.
Damn.
And luckily, I've lived in New York so long that I actually like literally know. But before my friends would hate me because I would always stop. But where are we going? Because I'm not going to walk down there if we're going to walk back this way because it's not down there.
That's the mercury in your stomach lining. It's just like a compass. It's the mercury in your
stomach gotta
lining.
Be. It got to be. Because when I tell you that shit would have me waiting.
When you go off course, it'd be like, whoa,
it splashes.
Wait a minute.
Like,
for real.
Yeah,
when I tell you that mercury would be like, pull back, pull back, pull back.
I can't stand y'all.
He right though, shit.
So those are the factors that they feel are contributing to the failure. But they did say that there are a few benefits of it being expensive.
Oh, how
expensive.
Kind.
So
the motherfuckers offered a positive. After all that dooming. You call my kids dumb and lazy. And now you're saying, but there's a bright side.
No, but it's societal factors, you know, according to them anyway. So they're saying the good thing is that these teens are engaging in adult behaviors a lot later. Because they're home.
So you happy your kids is slow?
Well, I was going to say, which adult behaviors? Because...
But this is what they're focused on. Less underage drinking.
Bitch.
Lower
Not
teen
you, of
pregnancy.
Course. You know
no,
talking.
I know who you're talking
research.
To. Lower teen, yeah. Lower teen pregnancy.
Yeah, I shouldn't be getting pregnant. No, shit happens. But I mean, that's not like...
Watch it, Dustin.
They wearing me out, y'all. For real.
So here's the thing. The development, this is the science part, because I was like, what's the science, though? These are the societal and cultural factors. And then I remembered, we've discussed before on the show that the prefrontal cortex, remember, that's at the front lobe, it occurs primarily during adolescence. That's when it starts developing. But it doesn't, it's not fully accomplished and matured until the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, scientifically, it also makes sense why they would want to do
that. Your car insurance lowers at 25. That's what you was about
to
say, right?
Well, yeah, in a way, it makes sense, too, because they're saying you're...
So that's not what
you're
trying
to be more responsible.
You're more risk-averse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you're younger, like the video I told you guys of the little girl riding the bike down the car, like, you just don't know to have better judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So for those who don't know what the prefrontal cortex actually is in charge of, I look at it like the executive suite in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the complex...
Great, great description.
Right?
Friend.
That's
yes.
where all the most complex choices and behaviors are made. So impulsive behavior, decision-making, even moderating your social behavior, personality expression, planning, reasoning, judging, more of the like higher brain functions. Mm. So... If that's not matured till 25, then it kind of makes sense why you would be viewed as much. I was going to say, you know what? You got to be so cautious of the wording you're using.
I was going to say stupid.
No.
Fucked up. What was you going to say, Fred?
Don't fall in the trap.
Horrible. What was you going to say, Fred?
So as it matures... The teenager can reason better, develop more control over their impulses, and make better judgments. But here's the thing that I was like, I don't know, when I hear about the prefrontal cortex, and like Dustin was saying, like, who are these kids that they're asking? Because I remember when I was younger, I feel like I grew up very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had no choice but to make better snap decisions. You know, I didn't have the ease of an extended adolescence or even a community around me that was creating the space for that, as they're saying parents are with these kids. So the analysis found that those who were likely to partake in adult activities were the ones who came from larger families or those with lower incomes. This is called life history theory. The idea that exposure to an unpredictable or impoverished environment as a kid leads to faster development.
No.
Whereas children who grow up in a more stable environment with more resources tend to have slower developmental course.
Oh, so yeah, this is like poor folks grow up faster. Boom.
Because we have no choice.
Because we have to. Right.
We got shit to do. You know what I mean? So you have no choice but to make snap decisions. And so that's what I thought the Vogue.com article was so interesting, because it didn't mention any of this part.
Because in my mind, I'm like, well, that makes sense. That's why I'm not connecting to this.
Right, because it's not about us.
Right. Right.
They cared about the clothes the kids had on when they went to do this shit. That's what they was talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what were they wearing? This is Vogue.
What season is that?
Yeah.
So psychologist Eric Erickson called it a psychosocial
moratorium. What's that nigga name?
Eric Erickson.
No wonder he in the science. Why did y'all name me this shit? I want to know the science behind it. Go
ahead. He called this hiatus, this idling period, a psychosocial moratorium.
Ooh.
So what this...
He went through some shit.
So what the article was basically asking is, like Dustin was saying, is this a form of coddling?
Thank you.
Do you guys think it is?
Yes.
I love that it was just like, yes.
What the
you
fuck?
Know, look, you know, normally I'm on the fence about some of these
but
things.
This ain't
but
it.
All of the things that had me on the fence was coming back to why I was disconnected. And you have brought that part full circle. So I'm already, yes.
Because you know I had to dig for that part. Because right. I was like, who are they asking these questions?
Because I'm sitting here
to?
Thinking like, okay, well, as far as Black folks is concerned, like, how? Like, because when they were talking about the college stuff, I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense. But, you know, niggas be broke before we even get there. So never mind. Continue, please.
Right. So the other thing, too, is life expectancy. It has shifted. We're living much longer than back in the day. So what they have suggested as well is that maybe there's nothing wrong with a few extra years of, quote unquote, innocence, being that you might be here till you're 80.
This speaks so much to what I feel the problem is with every fucking body in general, mm-hmm. right? This is, you can build a case for anything. And I feel like that's what these scientists, these researchers are doing. You're building a case to explain why your kids or your the kids around you or whoever ain't shit and why they taking forever to show some initiative shit. Or drive. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to working towards changing that. Maybe creating some sort of structure. I ain't heard shit about nothing about that. It seemed like they just walking in the living room looking at the nigga laying on the floor
on their phone
with Cheetos in the damn video game and just being like, well, fuck it. He don't want to get up. So let's figure out what it is.
Right.
No. Tell him to get his ass up and go do something and figure out some sort of plan and work towards it. The real stars of this lazy show are the parents and the researchers who did this instead of suggesting something else. Let's just figure out why they fucked up.
Right.
It makes me wonder also, because I'm kind of looking at... Sorry, I'm just really fucked up thinking about this whole thing. But I'm just really looking at the fact that there are so many people that have had like kids when they were young or... People that actually make successful livings without leaving their house, but they still manage to leave their house. So, like...
Or tragedies, illnesses, losing parents, and they're still... You
How
see
about
them
that?
On Twitter. Remember, I low-key used to make fun of that, where they would list everything wrong that happened. But
yeah.
I graduated.
Right.
And low-key, I would make fun, but that's also because I come from a similar thing where it's like, yeah, let's list all the terrible things you've been through.
Right.
But in reality... All jokes aside, look at those kids.
It's an accomplishment.
Right.
It's like the things that they've been through and that they still managed to push through. And
right.
I honestly, I don't want to say like, you know, bonded misery. I always talk about that. I don't think that people have to suffer to have like a better life eventually. I don't want to make it seem that way.
Right.
But I will say that it most definitely built my character.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
you have to choose how you see it.
And your kids, and you make a great point when you reference the fact that you didn't have to. You can work to teach your children to understand life without them experiencing the hardships or learning lessons
Absolutely.
The hard
they
way.
They don't need that.
That's your job, to offer a balanced perspective, a balanced view. Other perspectives, you know, other takes on it, on the life experience. That's your fucking job as a parent. Now, if you do all of that and your son still don't want to get his ass up and wash his ass every morning or whatever it is, then you start figuring out, okay, something must be not connecting. Let's get to the root of what that is. Right. But just in general, come the fuck on.
Your face, go ahead. I love it. I've worked
so hard for everything. And same. So when I hear, and I know, I already know. Right. So to hear shit like this, it gets super frustrating because what happens is these studies are released, people read it, and people that have been looking for, not everyone that's seeking information is seeking it responsibly or with good intentions. Some people are just looking for some sort of scientific reasoning to substantiate their bullshit.
Right.
And they adapt this data and these results to whatever they have going on that they want to legitimize.
Like a victimized.
I think that's the problem with this kind of shit, especially when it's not comprehensive, which I don't believe this is.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, I definitely
wouldn't be comprehensive to who they're talking about now.
now that we know.
But I think it makes me wonder, so with this category, because I feel like there's always been like age categories and like 18 to 24, 25 was always one. So like, let's say that this becomes like part of the teen now. What exactly is going to be the new system put into place for those years? Because I feel like there's always some system put into place, like whether it's like the institution of school, then workforce, then what? So like when you make this part of the teen, is it like, all right, so after they do school, they do higher education, and then they do crash course life learning and then actual life. Like,
well, that's
like
a perfect segue.
Yes, friend, I knew you was going to have
you slid me right
I
in.
Was wondering.
So Columbia University psychiatrist Mirjana Domakonda, I really pray that I'm saying your name right.
Well, you said it beautifully. So I hope so, too.
She claimed that, you know, outside of things like insurance, which is extremely helpful because we're paying a lot of money. So if I was still under my mom's at 26, that would have changed the game. But also she felt that expanding mental health services was important because apparently, which I didn't know, 75% of major mental illness emerges in your mid-20s. Mm-hmm. So she felt creating, like you said, what happens in that extended adolescence? Is it just saying you're now a teen for a couple more years, or is there something, some kind of system in place to help you with that transition? So she felt they had to expand these mental health services, embracing the cultural shift by developing ways to both meet the psychological needs of modern teens while also setting them up for future success, like you were just saying.
So like the after school specials then. Basically, right?
One thing she did mention that I thought was powerful, because I always felt that way, and I know we've had this discussion before on here about college and whether like you need to go or don't need to go. One thing I do think that she mentioned that was great was that you should not force your kid to think that they have to be in college at 18.
Yeah.
If we're going to give that adolescent expansion, then in that time frame, they should be allowed to get jobs, you know, travel, join things that will give them more perspective, more idea. Remember, your prefrontal cortex is not even developed. So you still need, you have that plasticity in your brain where you can still be impressionable and learn things and languages and people and experiences.
Now you're giving me something to work with.
Yeah, you're thrown into college. You're supposed to decide what you want to do for the rest of your life. Spend so much money. It's so funny because what I did in college, at that time, I thought, you know, oh, this would be great. But now I'm like so disconnected to what I decided because I was 18.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
You know what? When you put it like that, I think to myself, okay, fine. Only if we do decide that we're pushing back, you know, how quickly kids go into college.
And how quickly push them out.
Yeah, because, you know, in high school, it was like, all right, well, you know, you're graduating, so what you doing next year? Or you needed to worry about junior year, doing everything senior year to be able to go to school right at, like, go to college right after school, as opposed to being like, all right, you graduating this year, what type of jobs are you thinking about working or going into so you can, you know, figure out where you want to go to school? Like, I feel like that makes more sense because then people have a chance to, you know, focus on responsibilities and see how things work. But, you know, I was working at like 15, 16, so.
Me too. You know,
so, I mean.
To me, this conversation becomes like far larger because it then begs so many questions. Number one, I disagree. I think that maybe it would be more beneficial or more useful to change the way we view college and what it means, right?
I love that.
And this even kind of treads water in the space of the conversation about college being free. What if this is a way for you to get a life skill that can help you support yourself? And then you're allowed to figure out whatever it is your passion is or what you want to do. And if you elect to seek out more education for that, then you pay for that and you get that or whatever. But maybe we don't look at college as a one-stop shop for figuring your life out.
Right. Right.
What if college is just a vehicle for you to get some sort of tool to take care of yourself?
Right.
And then you have the means to travel the world, to have experiences that change your life and your views and your perspectives and help you to identify your desires and your wants and therein your career pursuits. What if instead of saying, okay, you know, and making all these radical changes, let's just change the conversation and the view of what college means, the weight of it on a person's life, fix it so that you're not paying $1 million in student loans for the rest of your life and you can't ever get that second chance that right. we talked about last week.
Mm.
I think it sort of goes into that territory then about college and the responsibilities that come along with that. I think that's where the shift needs to be occurred. Not in your sorry ass children.
And I honestly, I think to even piggyback on that, I think it'd be smart for it to start even earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Think of your high school curriculum. There's so much that I wish I had learned earlier. Like the kids that had more affluence and access, they knew to like start with internships
really young,
yeah. like at magazines, because mm-hmm. they knew if you start in ninth grade, by the time you graduate, it's putting you in a way better position. But what happens when you didn't know that? I mm-hmm. didn't know that. I didn't have connects. I didn't have anyone telling me, hey, I know so-and-so. I can get you in here at this music label. You know, like those are things I just didn't have access to. Everyone should have that as a resource and access. It should not be based on who you know,
right.
you know, and what doors can open for you. Even things too, like, well, imagine if we were in high school and they had been teaching us finances.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? We had someone like Budgetista type,
mm-hmm.
a class where they're teaching you from young about credit cards mm-hmm. and having and building your credit over time and the importance of that and how that's going to set you up for success in the future. Even something like cooking classes so you
Absolutely.
Can sustain yourself.
Not just home ec.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine being able to sustain yourself, especially when you go to college.
Yeah.
Like these are just life skills that I think if you feel more grounded in your life as a young adult and feel like, okay, I have a well-rounded approach to life. Like I understand finances. I understand this. I think it'll kind of open space and create space for you to like be able to think about
Absolutely.
The things you want to do.
Another thing that I think is noteworthy.
Like
you're and you are 150% right. Another thing I think is noteworthy is that people don't talk about how like the net that can be cast when you introduce life skills like that to kids early. People who are interested in careers in the culinary arts are able to identify
earlier.
And then are able to apply a focus to a path and creating a trajectory for themselves professionally.
Hell yeah.
I think it gives an automatic legitimacy and respect to some of the creative arts, you know, that people kind of shy away from pursuing as a career because it's such a risk and it's so, you know, the chances are one in how many million.
Especially if you come from a marginalized community, you're looking
somewhere
at your
in the
parents
middle of America, like
I can't
yeah.
afford to be in a creative
or
field.
I want to dance for a living, you
right.
know what I mean? But and no one's told you how to pursue that. I just think it opens up so many portals of just, it just makes children feel like they have more options and they have
right.
more of a chance at really being fulfilled in life, which I believe is the ultimate lesson and the ultimate goal.
It's
fulfillment,
true.
However that looks to you,
mm-hmm.
being fulfilled. So if we introduce these courses, if we introduce these things, mental health courses, I love
mental
how we're
health.
Seeing all these people talking about, inculcating these like mental health courses into their curriculums and how like LeBron, I believe it is opening a school. Big Sean is opening, you know, this facility.
He is?
Yeah, that has like all these mental health courses
in
for
Detroit?
People in Detroit. Yeah.
Sick.
Just dope shit. That I think is the shift that's going to take place. I don't believe it's going to be a restructuring of what we believe these segments of our development are. I think the work that needs to be done is restructuring what goes on in these stages.
Right.
And how we view what goes on in these stages so that we can get to, you know what I mean, the greater good in the end.
Yeah.
That's just
I think,
how I feel. Otherwise, fuck everybody.
And I think they're putting the onus on the parents. Like, you got to do this, you got to do this. But really, in reality, it's the way that society is structured.
Yes.
You know, why aren't we creating more livable wages so that when the kid graduates, he can actually afford to move out of his home
right.
and his development is not stifled because he can't afford to not be at home with mom and dad. So it's even outside of these courses, why not create a society that's actually for the development of these teens so they can thrive as adults? But obviously, we're in a capitalist society where it's worker bees. It's creating worker bees. But it's not about you doing great. It's not about you feeling good. It's about you feeling like you're stuck and being stuck in a job that is making, you know, all these 1% men wealthier.
And all of them are very, so that very they can ugly. Write
research papers like this.
You see how the bastards be looking when they get busted for like moving money, laundering, or like, or what's the nigga who...
Or pedophilia.
Yeah. What was the guy who, damn, it was like the biggest scam on Wall Street and shit. It just happened.
Bernie Madoff.
Look at him.
Child.
Need some makeup. So that's the thing. Like,
I was just gonna say, you know, some people in certain families, they're allowed to fail up. Like, their parents bought them houses for them kids to live in forever.
That's why I hate those articles. How this person saved $100,000, and then you look, and it's like the mom paid for school,
right? And then some of them, they be set up like for real, for real. Like, their dad give them a business when they like 14, 16, and then they have all this money, but they still at home being lazy. And in actuality, they can't run shit. So if they had to go manage somebody, they're dumb as fuck. And then you stuck working for someone that's managing you, and they stupid as hell, and they living at home, and they have enough money to do away with all of that.
Y'all see what happened to Brian McKnight recently?
What happened to Brian McKnight?
Brian McKnight, and I'm not joking, before I even get started. Brian McKnight was in the news because his kids had came forward saying how he had cut them off, and he was all about his new... I guess he got like a second set of kids, which, sidebar, that's the one thing I envy about, you know, the heteronormal life. I told y'all I always wanted to be a nigga with two sets of kids. I think that is like the ultimate player shit. Like, you know, you got older kids, and then you got like a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old. Like, yo, I just, you know, just, that's a new set of kids. Player shit. But anyway,
a new set.
Back to Brian McKnight. So Brian McKnight's kids came out and said he had cut them off and all this shit. And so he released the video saying, I did.
Because
it was time for them to fly the coop. For years, I've been offering them these opportunities.
That's interesting.
My wife got them jobs working at the hospital, $18 an hour with benefits. They didn't want to do it because they didn't want to stop smoking weed. He was like, I was fine with that. Just do something else. He said, I gave them an apartment. I guess they was like 25. Mm-hmm. He got them an apartment, paid the rent for 2 years. He was like, y'all got 2 years to just figure whatever.
What? Damn.
They still didn't do it, so he cut the kids off. And there's this huge uproar. I personally would never cut my kids off.
No.
But I also wouldn't be in a position where I had some sows laying around as kids. You know what I'm saying? My kids wouldn't be lazy. They would be, I would hope that they would exhibit at least a work ethic, which I believe some of that is genetic, because like my father is an extremely hard worker, and so am I, and so is my brother. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I would try to teach that, impart that in my children and in the rearing of my children. So I don't think I would be at that point. And I just personally, I'm not a parent. I don't have no kids. And goddamn, I will never have none. Thank you, Lord. Once again, hey, sha-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, ibo-bo. Thank you, Lord, for small favors. No kids. But if I did, you know what I'm saying? If I did, I would never cut my children off. But I also don't foresee myself being in a position to have to.
Right.
So,
because you feel that you'd
you don't
them
know,
better.
But I just feel like, you know what I mean? As people, they would be that way. Now, Brian McKnight, to me, it makes perfect sense that his kids don't know who they are because we don't know who he is. He sang all these, you know, vanilla, you know, R&B songs, love songs, and then came out with Show Me How Your Pussy Works.
Let me so it's like, show okay, me how this pussy works.
Well, who is you? You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what side of the mirror we were on. So it makes sense to me.
So, bottom line is, I do think some concessions should be made in the sense that when considering the weak economy, the recession, not so much smartphones, because that's a decision at the end of the day.
That's so dumb.
But just the way the society is set up with, you know, we were discussing like the livable wages and everything that we know are stress factors, even environmentally. I mean, there's so many issues, especially when you marginalize, like we just discussed. Not only do you not have high schools or colleges that are setting you up for success, but you're also playing a lot of catch up. That's what I feel like I was playing a lot of catch up. Because
that's so real, friend. That's a whole nother episode to be
honest. Dog, you spend so much of your life playing catch up just to be in a position to thrive when everyone else is already, you know, out the gate. So
and never cut the mustard.
So that's a problem in itself, you know. Just, I'm like trying to keep up.
Look at his face.
Heinz, you hear me? Ketchup and still never touch a mustard. Damn. All we can do is relish, you know.
That was like a threefer.
I can't even go into the hallway because of that water bug. Jesus.
Go ahead, friend.
But I do think, you know, the parents that do put that pressure at 18, like, well, you're an adult. Get the fuck out my house. You know you've heard a lot.
Ho-ho, get your ass on and don't look back.
Do I think it means, you know, you should have your kid chilling on the couch eating Cheetos on his phone? No, hell of course not. But I do think you should create an environment that is more supportive of your children and their mental health.
Absolutely.
And the careers they want to explore, as opposed to being like, get the fuck out, you're an adult, da da da. Because I do think that that is something that is very common, even though I, for the most part, I don't know, at least I'm from the Caribbean, they want you to stay. So I don't know, my mom would have me at the house forever if she could.
Listen, I don't think I'm having kids, but I want my home to seem so lovely that they would stay there, but they also know that I don't want them there. Like, people come over like, damn, this house is nice as fuck. But yeah, it's my parents' house. You know, I could live here forever, but I know they want me to get the fuck on. And I'm getting the fuck on. Like,
right.
I want it to feel like both. Like, comfortable enough for you to live in, but no, it's expiring and you to be ready to get your ass on.
Right, right, right. No coddling. And I will say it's also important to create environments in the home. Like, this is on a much smaller scale because my godson is only 5. But it starts early. He's always on his iPad. Watching what's the cartoon with the bald kid that's super bad?
Callaloo?
Or... Mary?
Oh, you talking about Lil Bill. What's it?
Caillou.
Yeah.
You said he watches a Peppa Pig, all that. So, but when I talk to him, like, what do you want to do? He loves basketball. Like, he'll watch basketball, you know, when the season's on, whatever. Loves it. He's going to be super tall, like his dad. His dad's from Mali. He's like 6'7". My godson looks like a 10-year-old. Loves basketball. So when his birthday came around, I bought him a basketball hoop for the backyard.
Friend.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, then you need to play.
Yeah.
If that's something that you enjoy. And his mom sent me videos where she said he's obsessively in the backyard now practicing his shots and playing, you know, and like he don't even want to be inside.
I love that.
And it made me happy because I'm like, all it took was listening, number one, and then helping cultivate an environment that is supportive of what they want to explore. And I think, and I get it, being a parent is exhausting. It's not easy. I came in as an auntie that only sees him, you know, once or twice a year. So it's easy for me to be like, yeah, that's all he needed. My best friend is exhausted. She's a mom of two. She's a principal. Like, she has a lot going on. She's a wife. But I do think it's also important to have these conversations and create the environment that'll help him, because he's on his iPad because he was just didn't have anything else. You know what I mean? And now he's like perfecting his three-pointer.
Girl, you know iPads are the new pacifiers.
They absolutely they are. And I get it. I used to get so irritated when he'd be on it. But I'm also like, but I get it. My friend is tired, bro. Yeah, like, it's a lot of work.
The kids don't suck their thumb no more. They swipe their thumb. That's the new sucking thumb.
And you have to stimulate them all day.
Like there's no respite.
Yeah. So the beauty is that they do have a backyard that's safe and enclosed, and he can be back there playing.
That's wonderful.
And now he's like excited, and I FaceTimed him while he was playing the other day. I was like, how's the shot? He's like, I'm getting good, Titi. You know, he's like showing me, and I'm like, oh my God. But you know, that's all it takes, like having these conversations and then following suit. I even when I was younger, I will say my mom, she noticed I had an affinity for toys that were musical as opposed to like dolls.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, so she, my toys, when you look at pictures, it was like the xylophone. That xylophone everyone had, the blue one.
Oh, yes, you know, friend. Yes,
I know exactly
with the thing on the string. Yeah.
Like the Casio everybody had, the little white one that had like the pre-programmed.
Yes.
It'll show you how to play it.
And it'll teach you how to play it. Everyone had the flute. Like, she realized early
the
on.
Flute, their little recorder.
Recorders, baby.
Oh my God.
You,
like,
you couldn't stop me on that recorder.
Hot cross buns. Look, you take me back. I had a teacher named Miss Michelson.
Yeah.
And she called. Your mom would be like, oh my God.
I'm sorry, you just took me back to high cross buns. Because my teacher, Miss Michael, since she called that high cross buns, I'm like, high cross buns.
High cross buns. Y'all, always so been a top. Funny. Oh. I knew then, I was like, I'm going to be a top.
Oh my God.
High cross buns. I said, exactly. Precisely.
I feel like we should end there.
End.
All I know is
friend.
All I know is my mom thought that I was going to be owning Sony because she bought me so many Sony things, whether it was the Walkman, you know, when it was on the CD players, the mini disc player,
or
whether it was like a Sony PlayStation. Like, I remember at one point she was like, "Oh, this damn Sony up in here. I spent my money on." Because she made sure her kids had what they needed so they could stay out her face.
And I love that. And I think, you know, and we have to also take care of parents, mental health resources, more like child care that isn't $1 million so that they can breathe sometimes. Because I remember when my best friend started working and I was like, "How much is the daycare?" And it was $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
That's a bad
look, I was saying that's on the low end.
And
huh?
That was like, what, 3 years ago? So I'm like, bro.
Dang.
That shit is insanely expensive.
So it's a, it's like a.
That's why I hate kids. No, I'm just playing. Y'all know I love kids.
So it's honestly, it's a complete restructuring of society that needs to happen. More so than like, let your kids hang out a little longer.
Right.
I think the researchers could have delved a little bit deeper.
Right. Have different conversations with your kids or do better check-ins with the schools or something.
Yeah, everyone needs help. The kids need more attention and the parents need more attention. Everybody. Right. Teachers need more attention. Everybody needs more attention.
Otherwise, them three blind mice going to be your kids. Now, let's see how they run.
Why did we all play that? What is going on? Then, do they still do that in school now?
Hell no.
I hope not. Because I remember being fucked up. I was too damn grown. When she would do hot cross buns, she would be like, "Mexican hot cross buns, cha-cha-cha."
Like those two.
Like, she would do it, and then she would do Chinese hot cross buns, and it was this one Asian girl we all looked like, why was she doing that, Miss Michelson?
Oh, my God, y'all killing me. So those of you listening, I'm curious what you think. Should we extend adolescence and give the teens a little more time to play in their innocence? What do you think? Or should we kick their asses out like we were to build stronger, faster, more quickly developed adolescents?
Listen, I'm reasonable, okay? If your ass
like
can get a job,
in the middle.
If your ass can get a job at home and then just make money and actually pay the rent for all of us and say that this is your house now, you can stay your ass home as long as you want. Because the way that it is now, you could just game and make money and sit in your room and not come out or something like that.
You want a kid that sit in his room and don't come out?
I mean, if his room got a bathroom
in
it.
That's most kids.
I was going to say, if it got a bathroom in it, he washes
like
himself
bad
and make
kids.
And
make noise. Let me know you. Let me know. If you too damn noise. Quiet.
But the thing is, see, I like bad kids too, though, because they're not in the damn house. They outside playing. They not in your face.
I like my, if you around me and you a kid, you need to be active. With some of them kids just be sitting like that. Not that, and I'm absolutely not speaking about anybody with any sort of anything that's not, you know what I'm saying?
No,
anybody
but some
that's
kids are
able
just quiet.
Differently. I'm talking about bad kids. You know what I'm saying? Them little devil kids. Y'all know who
they're
I'm talking about.
On the
yeah,
wall
being
and
quiet and looking at you and chewing on wood people.
That is your tribe.
Like, no.
Cutting your cousin's hair, tying
I'd
them
be
up.
Loud
those are his kids
around,
because
you know?
He's never having kids. So those are definitely his kids.
I love like, shout out to ASAP Noah. Wonderful, well adjusted personality. The other day, just the other day, she told me in the middle of 10th Street to stop yelling her name. She said, "I love you too, and stop yelling my name down the street."
What?
I said, "The baby is all right." Then I knew it.
I love her. I tell you, I call her my little kombucha, and she'd be like, "I don't smell like vinegar."
See? Now you see what I'm talking about right there, friend. That's how we know. ASAP Noah is all right.
Well
shout out to Jade and Tristan for being
shout
the wonderful
y'all.
Parents.
And that's it for this week's Hot Button.
Daily Harvest makes it easier than ever to get back in the habit of eating more fruits and veggies with thoughtfully sourced, chef-crafted food that can be prepared in less than 5 minutes. Fill your box with more than 65 different options. I like this. Like ready-to-blend smoothies, hearty soups, and savory harvest bowls. Each Daily Harvest cup takes one step to prepare with room for customization. All of Daily Harvest ingredients are sourced and selected for maximum nourishment and peak season flavor. Let me tell you something about the ease. Fran, I know you know how important ease is.
Of course.
And the ease of Daily Harvest, I ain't got a lot of time, okay, for nothing. Barely have enough time to wash my legs, but I still do it. The point is, those minutes can be better used in the kitchen, and Daily Harvest saves me that time so I can actually enjoy the food. Less prep, more enjoyment. Thank you for that, Daily Harvest. So if you're trying to be down, go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code FRIENDZONE to get $25 off your first box. That's promo code FRIENDZONE for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com. dailyharvest.com.
If you're looking to discover key pieces of clothing that are versatile, comfortable, and stylish, check out Style Plan by Frank and Oak. One of the things that I like about Frank and Oak is that I'm choosing clothes that is online, and it's not like I'm going into one of them shopping stores and it's just a bunch of messy ass tables.
Oh my God, I hate that.
Ain't that the worst? I get to just look over like it's like a catalog and pick out something that I want. And all the clothes feel like high quality and nice. I have a bunch of t-shirts that were picked out for me. I didn't even have to look at them.
And I like that they have the stylist who pick it out for you.
Okay, so I'm not French Montana because I do have a stylist, okay? But I also really appreciated wearing that shirt that you saw me in at the anniversary show.
And it was cute.
It was really cute. It was bomb. It was nice and new, something I wouldn't normally grab. But I put it on, I loved it, and everyone else loved it. So the Style Plan by Frank and Oak is a clothing subscription box, and it's for men and women, curated by a combination of stylists and AI. Just tell them a little bit about yourself by taking a style quiz. Preview your monthly subscription box and take 7 days to decide what you love and send back what you don't want. You can customize your choices and confirm what you'll be getting in your box before it ships. Shipping and returns are always free, and you can skip or cancel anytime. Style Plan by Frank and Oak is dedicated to providing purposely designed products and timeless fashion pieces made ethically through eco-friendly processes. To discover what your wardrobe has been missing, try Style Plan by Frank and Oak completely risk-free. Go to frankandoak.com/friendzone and you'll get $25 off your first subscription box. That's frankandoak.com/friendzone for $25 off your first subscription box. frankandoak.com/friendzone.
Now let's bring in the wind chimes. So this week... I love the wind chimes.
Felt like that one was more prominent.
So
than
this week is going to be more like beauty news,
okay?
Which I'll do sometimes.
Said beauty
too.
News. It's like what?
I mean, that'll be a plot twist. Well, actually, you were close.
Right.
I just showed them a picture of Tracee Ellis Ross.
I mean, get well soon. Like.
So she posted on her Instagram that she was, and I'm reading it straight from her IG, thrilled to introduce Pattern, my new hair care brand specifically for curly, coily, and tight textured hair. She writes, the Pattern Beauty is the result of 20 years of dreaming, 10 years in the making. Apparently, she wrote her first brand pitch in 2008, right when Girlfriends finished. That's crazy work. That it's taking this long. But that goes to show she put in the work for
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
And 2 years of working with chemists. So she was excited to share this with us. It's called Pattern Beauty. She says it's here to empower and nourish curly, coily, tight textured hair from 3B to 4C. The formulas are unique and packed with luscious. I love the word luscious.
Luscious.
Mm-hmm. It's just a great word.
Great and stripper name.
So luscious.
You can like taste luscious. It. And safe ingredients, she says, trust me, I know, because my panel and I tried 74 different samples to get these 7 formulas for phase 1, which phase 1 is the launch. She says it's for those of us who need more than a quarter size of product, large conditioner sizes that actually fulfill the unmet needs of our community, and accessible pricing, because everyone should have access to their most beautiful hair in the shower. Honestly, the packaging, let me show you guys this packaging. Let me see if we can pull up.
Oh, it's all white. I'm just kidding. The iPad is all white right now. I love
Look
that.
Look at that packaging.
Oh, wow. That's Come so on. Cute. And Fran, Ooh. It looks like
ain't that like
almost a little Keith Haring vibes a little bit.
Know, yes. You know, I freaked out when I saw it. I was like, oh my God, she channeled this same thing.
Oh my gosh.
So it's beautiful. It's definitely gonna stand out on the shelves because you know this is gonna hit Target and it's gonna hit
CVS. Right,
like you already know. It's Tracee Ellis Ross. She has that kind of push. But I love it. She has hair serums, conditioner, leave-ins. She even has like a Denman brush. apparently even has clips and like towels that you can use to dry your hair a little bit faster.
Everything I could buy.
The whole set. Everything that you basically would need from a natural hair care set. So I think it's awesome. I'm excited to try it.
Try it out. Yeah.
I mean, this is very on brand. Her hair has been a big part.
Me too.
Think about it. Her and her mom, their hair has been a huge part of their legacy.
Legendary.
Staples, iconic. So I think it's a really cool move, especially, you know, when you see Rihanna, how she's like created this empire of beauty. So I'm so curious to see, black women really stepping in as these moguls. And I'm ready. I'm like, who's going to give us skincare? I'm ready for the skincare.
Right.
So Pattern Beauty, if you want more information, it's at Pattern Beauty. Look how cute. PatternBeauty.com. And apparently it launches in 5 days.
Go ahead, Tracee Ellis
Ross. Even has like a little counter so that
judge
you can follow.
Judge for me.
Isn't that awesome?
I like her.
So I'm very excited about that. Oh, available 9/9/19. Ooh, come on, numerology. I'm here for that.
I'm playing a number that day.
And look at
9/9/19.
And I love this. She's naked. Mm-hmm. You see that? She looks great.
She's gorgeous anyway.
She's so fly. And I love it because it says sometimes it's just all about the hair.
Wow.
Which is why
she's really
naked.
Thought this through. I love this.
You see it, the branding,
very well
the rollout,
well
the packaging, the ingredients. So Pattern Beauty, Tracee Ellis Ross, and that's the beauty news of the week.
I love it.
Asante, what you got for us, Mr. Music
From
Man?
The Pattern app to Pattern Beauty.
Right.
Hey, friend, hey. What up, y'all? It's the Music Man telling y'all about everything that I can that I've been listening to. Last week, we talked a little bit about the VMAs. That was a big thing that happened. This week, we're back with more music. I've been listening to a lot of the same old, but I was in Miami this weekend and I got to reconnect with my sister.
Jealous.
So I wanted to just really quickly tell y'all about my jam. And then I'm going to just let y'all do listens lately because I don't really have a lot going on in music music news. It's been a lot of the old stuff and I want to talk about a music video, but I want to do that to like close out the segment. I'm sure y'all know which video I want to talk about.
I already know. I didn't see it yet though.
You ain't
seen it. I didn't see it yet. I watch it now on mute while you talk.
All right. Do that.
So you know she got it lit. Remember?
Look, speaking of having it lit, shout out to everybody down in Florida. I should have said this at the top of the show, but I was down south for a family reunion and I actually bumped into some listeners at random points
no
sometimes.
Way.
All right.
And thank you guys for being so polite and respectful and awesome and amazing. One of the girls, she was just so lovely to me. She saw me in the parking lot. She was like, I didn't want to come over and bother you, but, you know, you here. And so I want to just take my time to say what's up. But
sweet.
A song that I was really jamming to came on that my sister put me on to while we were talking. So I have to shout this person out. I don't even know who this is. Maybe you guys have heard of him. But the name is Amb J. I don't know if I'm saying this right. It's AmbJaay. But it's this
Amb J.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. But he has a song called Uno. And I have been listening to this shit. Like, it was our theme song for the weekend. So shout out to my sister and shout out to the y'all for playing this down there because it's the shit. So here it is.
Hundreds and fifties, big old bitties. Yeah. Uno, dos, no thrash, you hear me? Hey.
Almighty.
Hey, cost a little like this, you hear me? Uno, dos, no tres, y a tato. We got bitches shaking ass in a lotto. Big chop knocking nigga out zapatos. Still getting queso like nachos. Uno, dos, no tres, y a tato. We got bitches shaking ass in a lotto. Big chop knocking nigga out zapatos. Still getting queso like nachos. Hit her from the back, then I tell her no mind.
So that was my
shoe.
Nigga out zapatos. I'm like, yeah.
I like this.
Wow.
I did not see
that coming.
My sister was like, bitch, where the fuck you get this on? This is my shit. She's just been playing it over and over again, and we were out and heard it, and so it was solidified.
I low-key feel like Lil Nas X is going to have people experimenting.
You know what's crazy?
Fusions.
It's crazy as you said it, because when I was listening to it, I thought about Lil Nas X.
Right.
Because he has another song that somebody played that was kind of influenced, too. So I was like, I wonder if this is going to be the trend, like everybody's going to like continue to play with stuff. But
right. That was good, though.
That was good. I had no idea that was going to be my jam, but I was like, I have to play this on the friend zone. Like, I'm talking about this. Like, this is my shit. But,
say the name again.
AmbJ.
AmbJ.
Uno, dos, tres, y cuatro.
I don't know if it's...
Zapatos.
Knocking their eyes.
You want me to keep playing? That's all for you, Brandon. Don't you? You do. I'm just...
Shit free, had to tell a bitch, hola. Bend it over. I want to put no time. She call me Poppy. I hit it with no socks. She like, Jay, can I get some dick for before? I'm like, yeah, check it out. Close the door. Top of a block. Yeah, put the up the score. Yeah, pull a nigga back like a fucking orange.
So yeah, that's my song.
Yeah, that though.
Outside of that, I've been listening still to Toby Lou. I was telling you earlier, friend, like I just love everything that Toby Lou does, everything that he's put out.
I know you like country music.
No, I don't like country music.
Toby Lou. I learned Toby Lou through you.
Yeah. Toby Lou.
That should be his signature before his record starts.
Toby Lou. And then the record just drops. I keep listening to Toby Lou's project. I talked about it a while back. Actually, I remember you asking me if I had listened to it, Fran. And I just mentioned that I've been listening to it. But there are 21 tracks on this. And you guys should just listen to it because there are a lot of cool, dope, vibey, feel-good-ass songs that he does. But then he does some like emo R&B type records. And there are really cool like switch ups and breakdowns that happen towards the end of songs. One of which I will say there's a song called Favorite Substitute, and it features Ryan Destiny. And she sounds beautiful at the end of this song. And I'm listening to everything Toby Lou's doing. There's another song on there called 8702, which is kind of like the answer to Usher's 8701, and it goes to. So just listen to Toby Lou. Should I play a sample of something or should I just keep
hit us with it?
All right, Fran. This is a little 8702. And this is just a production, okay? Like, Toby has great production, but then there are some songs where, you know, you got to really get in his bars, how hard and easy they are. But 8702.
Yes. I don't even know if I'm fucked up right now. I'm just feeling my shit. Dre said, how the party going? Didn't even start it, but it's already lit. Ran into my ex. She said, hey, how you been? But I don't like to reminisce. Everything I took 10 minutes ago just hit, so I'ma need a little bit. I was doing my dance, so someone grabbed my hand like, no, babe, do it like this. So I threw it in reverse, tried a little swerve, okay. I think I get the gist. Left hand up, right hand down, stick shift. Then I hit it in a whip. Proud of myself, cause I did just what I did.
See?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, he gets down. He gets down. Toby Lou gets down.
So, what's that one called?
That one's 8702.
8702. I'm so...
Yes. All right. So, that's it for me right now, what I've been listening to lately. So, Fran, go on, tell the people what you've been listening to lately.
So, I have three tracks.
Okay, give them two.
The first one is, I just got put on to Black Party. And he has a song called Summer Love, which is funny because summer's over.
Mm-hmm.
So much, so much. And this is how it goes.
You be scared, I'll hold your hand. Nothing can stop a feeling that I feel when I'm with you. Forevermore, I'll never forget you. Baby, you can be my summer love. Wanna vibe with you, wanna get high with you, get in the car and drive with you. Baby, you can be my summer love.
Cute, right?
I think so.
I love it.
I fuck with Black Party.
So I don't even know. It was one of those. That's why I love Spotify. When an album you're listening to ends.
Then it comes
and then
up.
It just kind of creates a radio out of it. And this came up and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who was that? Okay. So that was. Now I'm like going through. So Sir released an album called Chasing Summer. Y'all know how I feel about Sir.
Yes. No, you're
such
numb.
A cute baby.
No, not that.
That ain't one of. Who?
What's the hashtag for this week?
It's either the baby or the studios, right? It's either Sir Carter or Sir Studios.
Did y'all get a chance to listen?
I did not put me on.
No, sir. Oh,
it's going to be hard to pick a fave because it's perfect. It's Sir.
You know, now you're making me want
to
listen.
I was about to say, I know you're about to put me on. Projects. I'm putting it on tonight.
So he has a record called Still Blue.
Oh.
Featuring Jill Scott. Are y'all ready? Here it goes.
I'm fucking with it.
I mean,
you want to talk about setting the mood?
I love him. Sir, he's one of those so artists that you just know it's gonna hit. Like, it never fails. There's never been a project he's released that has not made me feel away.
Have Miguel ever done anything together?
Man, I don't think so. That would be something. Oof. And then the last one, Spotify will forever kill me for taking out my listens thing. The last one is Justine Skye.
Oh my God, I love Justine Skye.
She released an EP.
What?
And it's called Bear With Me.
That's what we've been doing.
For real.
A completely new sound, new vibe. Look at the cover.
Oh my God, really?
She looks amazing.
Oh, guess my God, who she worked with on it?
Who?
James Fauntleroy.
Oh shit.
So you ready?
Oh my God, hold on. Let me download this right
It's called Too Much.
Too much, what the fuck? You tried to play me, but I balled you up. Weak defense, though it was not enough. No, I be tripping, almost falling in love. Ignoring the signs, calling love, all the above. Thought it was different, but it's only because you caught me slipping. I'm the one tripping, cause
I gave you a little light, you asking for too much. But you hit it once, and now you asking for too much.
First of all, I heard him all up through there before she opened her damn mouth.
Oh, God.
I'm here for it.
So that's it. Those are the three. And also, just because I didn't want to turn it into a Sir segment, The Recipe, which is the title track, is the other one that just has me in a chokehold. So listen Cupid's to that, Justine Skye and Black Party.
Thank you, Fran. You have really Thank blessed you. Me and put me on today.
I'm excited. Yes. I hope y'all enjoy.
What about you, Dustin? What you been listening to lately?
Been listening to a couple of things. I'm going to try to make this quick because I got a couple historicals. You know, I like to take us back
and
a few years.
And make us feel old.
Got a couple of things. So first of all, happy 50th birthday to Casey Haley from Jodeci.
Wow.
Jodeci means a lot to my musical palate. I love their brand of R&B. KC was the shit. And he just gave a lot to R&B culture as a whole, R&B music. So happy birthday to Casey. That nigga 50.
Happy birthday. That's wild, man.
Happy birthday to Selena Johnson. Another person with a beautiful voice who gave a lot to music and now entertainment with her successful talk show, Sister Circle, which y'all know how I feel about Sister Circle.
You gotta be on it. I saw one of the listeners say that on Twitter.
I gotta go down to the circle.
Gotta go down.
Yes.
Also, so really quickly, there are two albums that came out 6 years ago today. John Legend's Love in the Future album, which is one of my, even though it's one of his newer albums. That's one of my favorite John Legend albums. There's a song on there called Dreams. That's one of the most beautiful songs. I wish it was longer.
Oh my God,
it's beautiful, friend.
I'm in.
I would play it, but I ain't even gonna do that. Just not that's your homework. Dreams by John Legend. Then there's also, a beautiful cover of Open Your Eyes by Bobby Caldwell. Everybody knows that song.
Of course.
It's a very black song by a white man that John Legend redid that's on that album. There's also a beautiful duet that he had with Stacey Barth that is a cover of Anita Baker's Angel on that album.
Yes.
So it's very, when artists have lengthy catalogs like that, it's kind of easy to overlook the later albums, but that was an album that deserves attention. Also, six years ago, Love and War by Tamar came out. Feel how you want to feel about Tamar Braxton, but them pipes are there. And that was a great fucking R&B album.
Yes.
Great R&B album.
Didn't Claude and Chuck work on it?
Claude and Chuck also worked on another album of hers and wrote this song called Raise the Bar, which is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. But I love this album. I love Tamar's music, especially at that stage when she was just getting herself back into releasing music. We all know how big the title track Love and War was. Then you have All the Way Home, Pieces.
All the Way Home.
Wait a Minute, Baby.
I'm gonna stay.
Okay.
Oh, then that's
Wait a Minute, Baby. You're going too fast. I'm going to turn back. For real. So shout out to those songs. As far as what I'm playing, what I've been listening to, right? There's all this new music coming out. Y'all know I'm a huge Cash Doll fan. Her debut album is coming out next month in October. It's called Stacked. I can't wait to hear it. But she also has been giving these really dope previews of music that she has coming out. You know she's really good for leaving a dope feature. So today, instead of playing one of my listens lately, I want to play the audio from this clip she played on Twitter of her feature on this artist named Lil Guy Cash, who is actually from New York. He's a dope rapper signed to Republic Records with her. They're their label mates. And she's featuring on this song that he has where he's talking about his girlfriend being crazy. And then she offers what the crazy girlfriend would have to say. So here we go, y'all. Friend, look up.
I'm ready.
So crazy. No, I'm not. This bitch so crazy.
You just be having me fucked up. Listen, if you keep talking to that bitch, I'm gonna split your shit. And you know I got good aim, nigga. I don't miss. I put a Snickers in your tank, pour bleach on your clothes. Yeah, I did that because you ain't looking good for them hoes. Walking on me like a doormat. My feelings, you kidnapped, leaving. Then you come back, wonder why a bitch snap. You gonna make me check that. Where you put my knife at? You know I'm a finisher. This is more to combat. Yeah, I'm crazy, but that's how you made me. When you flip your little switch and get the acting shady. Every time I call you out, you wanna disappear. Nigga, you can leave, but that dick gotta stay here. Fucking, I'm crazy.
Crazy, this bitch so crazy. But I like she tried to stab me, she tried to shoot me.
Sure did.
When the cops came.
She said, sure did. So the only reason I wanted to share that clip is because
she
one of the things.
She always looks so good.
And she's got so much personality.
She ever wears sweatpants and sneakers. Right.
she's so full of like personality. And I think that's one of the things that made me fall in love with her as an artist.
Right.
And it's everybody in rap. There's a lot of posturing. There's a lot of like people who try to prove certain things. To me, she's just void of all that. It's just.
She's just who she is.
And I like the fact that she's making it fun to listen to music again. So shout out to Cash Doll.
And I love that visual with the poodle.
The pink, that was at Gay Pride in
that
Atlanta.
That was so damn funny, especially when she was like, get in the car. Get in the car.
Can you believe she walked in the club with that damn dog?
Did she really?
Yes, that's how she walked in the club to the party. Shout out to T Personality.
Love it.
So that's all I got this week. Shout out to Cash Doll.
Tight.
All right, well, I have one, maybe one and a half more things to talk about, but before I do that, because Dustin brought it up, I'm going to play Dreams really fast because I want to hear it.
By John Legend.
Tonight go ride is crazy, but I'm still waiting. If I play my cards right, my luck's gonna strike. Until then, there's a night. All I wanna do is dream, 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 like lovers do. True, if I dream, 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 it just might be the only time that I'm with you.
Beautiful. Can you play the end real quick?
That is art.
Can you play the end?
Yes, 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 yes.
We gotta listen to the end. Y'all, you'll appreciate this.
Hold on, wait.
Of you.
One of the most beautifulest, and mind you,
how have I never heard this?
Mind you, John Legend has catalog. So for you to like pull that needle out of the haystack, because like when you said John Legend, I'm sitting here thinking like all the albums, like, oh, Revolver, all that. But like that right there, because that was going right after Revolver, mm-hmm. and it felt like he was on a whole new wave of mm-hmm. shit, and it was still so like
that album. It reignited my interest in John Legend as an artist, because I had kind of lost interest, I guess. Mm. But when that album came out, I started paying more as much of attention as I did when Get Lifted came out, when I was like, this is the best music I've ever heard in my life.
It's so great.
So I love that album, and shout out to the... And random fact, I used to have a playlist that it was literally just Dreams, and then it went into Bound 2. And it was literally like... just do it. Trust me.
You know, and you reminded me that's what it is. I just didn't listen to this album. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'd probably overlook.
Yeah,
it.
I feel like
I'm going to go back to it.
I feel like, did you listen to the one right before it too, Evolver?
Yeah.
I feel like some people didn't even get into that one either. So they had already fallen off the John Legend wagon.
The train, yeah. Well, I'm going to get back on. I'm listening this week because that's a beautiful record.
That record right there, if a movie is ever made about my life, I need that to be in the scene. I just need to go somewhere in there. Whew. Anyway, I guess that was one of the half things I want to talk about. For the last thing I want to talk about, Hot Girl Summer video is finally here at the end of summer, but that's okay because I'm loving it. I'm loving the video. Yeah, I don't want to give away. I don't want to give away too much for you, Fran, but a lot of cameos happened. A lot of people came out to support the Hot Girl. Some newer girls and
some people we love.
A lot of people we love.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Actually, I'm going to just name them off. I'm going to name off who you should look for in the video. And I think I should name off everybody if I can name it. So, you know, Lala Anthony is in there. She makes great cameo appearance. Rico Nasty's in there looking great. Boom. Ari Lennox decides that she wants to stop by and give us a hot girl moment.
Oh, yeah.
You got Dani Leigh in the piece.
Oh, shit.
Looking good as fuck. Yeah. Like, the girls came out for Hot Girl Summer, so.
Sissy Tyson is at the end. I wasn't going to tell you, but she's in there.
The
at the very end, she'd be like, it's a great granny summer. That's what she said.
Look, now, what she actually said was, who is the hottest?
Why did you say summer like Cat Williams?
Summer.
The fact that I don't know if you're playing or not, that's what's funny about it. I'll have to watch, right?
There you go. So, you got to watch. Anybody listening, you got to watch. That's all I'm going to give you for the Hot Girl Summer video.
Nice.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy everything Megan Thee Stallion does. And that's just where I'm at in my life. And that's it for the Music Man segment. Now we can move it on over to the TV land. Dustin Ross, what you got?
So this week, you guys know it's summertime. It's not a whole lot going on the television box. Mm. So there definitely should be things going on in your box. But that's another conversation for another time. So I want to talk about fall and things we have to look forward to on one of our most favorite shows, The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Mm. Season 12 is starting. The rumor is it's coming November 3rd, I believe, is the rumored start date, but nothing's been announced. Mm. We do know that Bravo announced that Kenya Moore is coming back to the show as a full-time housewife. We know she
wasn't
starts
on
up,
it?
No, she set out last season, and then in the finale episode, she showed up at Cynthia's party, and it literally set NeNe's soul on fire. I mean,
for real.
Like, the heels of her shoes broke. It just was like, oh my God, Kenya's here. So...
It's hard to remember who has beef with who.
Yeah, it gets, especially as we approach season 12. Yeah,
wow.
You know what I mean? But there's a lot of new faces in the mix, and there's been a lot of twists and turns. So I'm just going to share with y'all what I know. I feel like this will be exciting for people who are fans of the show. Mm-hmm. So Portia and her baby daddy had broke up. Apparently he was messing around or cheating, but they then got back together. And I mean, they all the way back together. They've been on Dish together. Her, Portia.
Second chances.
Okay. Word to the thrill being gone and coming back. Apparently last week, Portia and her fiance Dennis and Shamia, who's been a longtime friend of the show, originally introduced through Portia, but she later developed a relationship with Candy and others
Shamia's
on the show.
Name, do you know it?
Morton, it used to be. Now it's Mgwa. It's an African
last name. What was it? You said Morton?
It used to be Morton.
So
yeah.
Shamia, she doing both Morton?
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
So, but her and her husband went on a vacation to Vegas with Portia and her husband, and there's the cutest photos
of them both holding their daughters. They both have baby girls that are literally a few months apart. Mm. So two best friends had their babies at the same time. Speaking of babies on the show, Ken, like I said, Kenya Moore is back. There's the cutest photo circulating of a scene that they shot where it's Portia and her daughter, Kenya and her baby daughter. And the little girls are like kind of tussling with each other and Kenya and Portia are cracking up laughing. So we'll get to see a new side of them.
Motherhood
as like,
and babies.
Yeah, you know.
Do you think they'll have the babies on set more?
Oh, absolutely. Because this is the first season that they've all had them. Mm-hmm. They, like Portia so was like pregnant last year. There. And I think it's an interesting way for the two of them to bond. We know Kenya and Portia have a very tricky history on the show. They
Kenya's
fought.
Ashy feet.
We all know, you know, what's happened. So
well, that's what she called them on that back then.
So I just think it's dope to see this new, you know, incarnation of their relationship as on the show. We get to see them as kind of like old friends who are new moms and they have play dates together. Aww. It's so cute. She can fight with everybody else. I want her and Portia to get Kenya being, I'm speaking of, and Portia to get along this season.
You want them to become the new freaking frack?
No, I just want them to be peacefully amongst each other. Like, I hate freaking frack. May that rest in peace. If you know, if you watch the show, you know what we're talking about. Yeah. There's rumors that, so Yovana, that bitch from CAU from last season, she's back this season with a meteor role. She is. She's back with a meteor role. And it's predicted, yes, it's predicted that she is like the villain this season.
And you know, when you said her name, I was like, they got to have some mess,
there's
I guess.
She's back.
Wait, okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to let you go down the list and ask questions.
Well, she is, the rumored feuds that we have, that there's speculation about at this point, there's a rumored feud between Yovana and Portia. Yovana and Kenya.
Okay, wait, so Eva got the boot?
No, Eva's there. Oh,
okay.
I'm gonna get to
that. Okay, that's why I want to switch.
Eva's there, and at the beginning of this season, these are all alleged, you know, rumors that I think will just be juicy to the people who follow the show. Allegedly, at the beginning of filming of this season, Kenya and Eva were butting heads. They just took, you know how they have like multiple cast trips, a smaller trip and then a larger, further trip. Well, they went to Toronto for Carabana Festival. Mm. And while they were there, somehow, some way, Eva and Kenya were able to see eye to eye. And there was also a huge blowout that it's rumored almost got physical between Yovana and Portia, Cynthia and Marlo, okay, and Nene and Kenya.
What?
So there's a big blowout that takes place in, and these are, there's so many articles that you can find for reference.
Where's Candy in this refereeing?
Candy
all of them?
Is the mediator this season. It's rumored that Candy's storyline is centered around her being a mediator in the group.
Oh, so she
and
won't
then
be
her
next
surrogate
to
jersey. A jersey. Journey. So she might as well wear the jersey. But she, it's rumored that she has a, I know last season we saw her and Ty meeting with Dr. Jackie from Married to Medicine to discuss, you know, potentially finding a surrogate. She's been vocal about them moving forward. And then we haven't heard a lot, but she also confirmed that we're going to see that journey play out on the series of the show. So I know they wanted to have twin girls. They already had the embryos. They wanted to use them. So, and Candy, I think she's a good mom.
So motherhood is the theme.
Motherhood isn't. Motherhood and mess are the themes
motherhood
this season.
I FaceTimed you the other day, and now I just remembered why. I was in Miami at the Dayland Mall, and we were in Finish Line, and they played Better Late Than Never.
By Riley Byrne? Yes. Well, I guess it's better late than never to play that. How did she blossom so much since
she
then?
Has.
Have you been following Riley?
Yes.
Riley is beautiful.
She's been beating it up.
Riley was in the New York this summer interning at a law firm.
Come on.
And living in New York for the summer on her own in an apartment on the Upper East Side. And she had a chaperone, one of the younger girls that Candy and them are really close to. Young girl
How
in her 20s.
She
came. Riley is 17. She just turned 17.
You see what I was saying in the hot button about having access early?
But you get what I'm saying? And she's so Riley is very much so displaying her personality in a way that's appealing. She's got a really great YouTube channel. She's doing so many things. So she's really blossomed into a young lady that is ambitious. And it's good to see those kind of threads that her mom has manifesting themselves in her. And I think that's so dope. Candy's a good mama. And Ace is so cute. Her son Ace.
He's so cute. I've seen
so cute. So, That's it. Nene still Nene, you know, and but I really hope that her and Cynthia can get back on the same page. Cynthia's very happy in her new relationship.
I was
going to
say,
Mike
Team
Gill.
Cynthia, she's glowing.
Business is thriving. She's at the Bailey Wine Cellar. She's engaged, newly engaged. So
wow.
They'll be getting married. Yeah.
Yay, congratulations.
So good things for her. So all in all, I think it's shaping up to be a great season. Seven.
Wait a minute. Wow. Is Cynthia getting a new house? Oh, we keeping like Bailey.
Oh, like Bailey is in full effect. And yes. So is the Bailey Q.
Ooh.
That's all I can say. So, yes, looking forward to season 12 of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Sometimes those little tidbits and nuggets that we get, when you put them all together, it gives you something to look forward to. So let's all hold on until November. In the meantime, we're going to watch the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion, and then we're going to slide right on into Married to Medicine Atlanta. So it should be a smooth journey to November's Real Housewives of Atlanta premiere.
Damn, it's going to be summer 2020 before I believe it.
Oh, man.
With these shows.
So that's it for TV this week, you guys. And if y'all are ready, because I'm ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
We can move on to the next story.
I'm ready.
All right, y'all. So the next story, this is episode 3. My name is Ramon, and I'm the guy that Anthony met at the end of last week's story. And that was a cool recollection or whatever, but it ain't really go down exactly like that.
Nice.
It was more like this. I have been seeing Anthony around for years. His best friend Corey used to kick it with my cousin Franco. Yeah, I said my cousin. Anyway, I liked his style, and he was always fly. But for the past few years, he had been running around with that Rick nigga. Now, I'm the type of guy who wants my shit to be about me, meaning I don't want to press him while he's with somebody else. I didn't want that pressure on neither one of us. So for years, I played the background. Never really moved around where he was, different sides of the room type shit. You know, I never even said hi to him. But I always checked in with Franco, because Franco always was messing around with Corey. They're still dealing with each other to this day, but their story is way too crazy for me to tell. Anyway, Franco always kept me up on Anthony. And last week when I asked about him, he was like, yo, it's your time. He finally left his dude alone. Now, my people know not to play with me about shit that's important. So I didn't even have to say another word before Franco said, you know, I wouldn't play with you about no shit like that. You've been checking for this nigga for years. So, obviously, y'all know what time it was when I saw him at the party this week. Yeah, it was Rick's night at the club, and it was definitely the spot for the night, but I didn't care. I knew Anthony would be there, and I knew this would be the night that I made myself known to him. This was the beginning. I got there right on time, because just as I was talking to the waitress about which bottles I wanted, Anthony walked in. I hurried up and passed my card to the waitress, and then I told Franco to handle the rest of that shit, and I had a move to make, and I did it right then. I wanted to be the first thing that happened to Anthony tonight. I was dressed in what everybody called typical Mike shit, an all-black Prada sweatsuit and a pair of black Prada sneakers, diamond ring, just one, and a watch, and a bracelet, and a necklace, and some earrings. So what? I love diamonds. I worked hard to keep them on me. And I had my favorite cologne on, too. See, fragrance was very important to me. I wanted this nigga to remember what I smelled like. I walked right on over to Anthony, and just when I was about to say something, I stepped on his fucking foot. He looked up, and as soon as he did, I knew he felt what I was feeling, and I knew he liked what he seen. Because as soon as he said, I'm Anthony, I told him I knew his name, and that I've been waiting for a long time to get to know him and let him know my name. And just like that, our story began. Wait till you see what happens next. That's it for this week's episode. This is the next story.
That was cool. That was so real, then.
That was cool. Okay.
It's fun,
cool.
Right?
So fun.
I ain't mad this week. That was cool.
As always, we love you so much for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.